The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Tourist hotspots in Ireland say they can't cope with another influx of Ukrainian refugees, warning that this jeopardises local tourism as hotel beds are full. In Mayo and Kerry and Clare and elsewhere, hoteliers and community groups are calling on government to formulate a plan to accommodate incoming refugees. Now, joining me on the line is Mayo County Councillor for Ballina, John O'Hara, and hotelier and Kerry County Councillor for Killarney, Niall O'Callaghan. Good morning and welcome to you both. Niall, you know, the jewel in the tourist crown was always deemed to be Killarney. Can you tell us about the situation in Killarney? How many hotel bedrooms do you have, and how many of those are currently being used to house refugees and asylum seekers?
At the moment, Pat, I suppose we're still the jewel in the crown. We're still the best town in the world to want to live in. But we're looking at about 30% to 40% of our bed nights already out of the system. And that's a worry for us going forward. It's a worry for the small taxi driver, the Jarvie, the cafe owners in the town who depend on these hotels to create the vibrancy and the spend power in the streets. And it's also a worry that you're putting Ukrainian families, moms and children, into rooms for months on end. Today, the water is coming out of the sky like a power shower, and you're expecting those people to stay in a hotel room for months on end. There's no services. Our doctors have already come out weeks ago and said they don't have it. I'm involved with the ETBs in Kerry, and my God, what the ETB have done to facilitate the educational system has been amazing. But again, that's maxed out. We don't have any mental health issues. Our Gardaí, if you're going to bring in over close to 3,500 people into the town of Killarney, we've the best Garda force in the country, bar none. They're really, really good. But you're going to have to give them manpower. And that's the same all over the country. I'm not talking just Killarney. This is all over the country. Because if you're bringing in such an influx of people, you're going to have issues. You're going to have antisocial behaviour issues. And you're going to need feet on the ground, guards on the ground to deal with that.
What's the population of Killarney normally? The indigenous population, people who live there all the year round?
The urban population, Pat, is from the last census that I was looking at, is about 10,363. But some other people can come up with a 14,000 figure. But it doesn't matter. If you still put that 3,500 figure up against that, it's a huge influx of people permanently living. They're not tourists. They have to use the services, Pat. And we want them. We welcome these people. As you can hear from me now, I'm being a realist. Not a racist, I'm being a realist. We need the services provided for everybody living here, not just the Irish, but also for the people coming in. And it's a very big worry. And there's a big worry as well in relation to the economic migrants.
Sure. I understand that if you've got 3,000 tourists in, the likelihood that they will need GP services or Garda services to any degree, you know, it'll be fairly minimum, and they certainly won't need any educational services because they're not hanging around. Having permanent people there who need all of these things needs more resources. Now, tell me what happened, Niall, when the Hotel Killarney situation evolved and they were going to move Ukrainian mothers and their children to Mayo, and they did not. They sourced accommodation ultimately after the outcry locally. Where do those people go?
Yeah, they went to other accommodation providers, holiday homes, hotels. I know of one hotel who had eight of those families working in the hotel, and they didn't want to lose them as workers, so they took them in, which is all well and good, and it's very good. But when you did that, and to be honest, Pat, I don't understand the decision to move those people in the first place. They were settled there. I was involved with getting some of those kids were actually travelling to Rathmore, which is 15 miles away, to get education because we had no schools for them. So now you wanted to move them to Mayo, or you wanted to move them somewhere else, and you wanted to bring in 220 single males, and they're international migrants, and you didn't need to do that. And why did you do that? Because now you're affecting the social fabric of the town.
Sure. It would also be argued that bringing in 220 males, no matter how benign each of those males is, a group of 200 young males has a particular dynamic, which, you know, could upset the, as you put it, the social apple cart a bit.
Yeah, and again, I'm actually just saying, where the structures. I understand that these people need help. I understand all of that. But again, with the international migrants, you need to process them. You need to move it on fairly lively, or you need to get structures in place to be able to process them. But it seems like you've gone from, you know, just having 7,000 a year. Now you're going to have 14,000 by the end of the year in the international migrant system alone. And that was stated in the Dáil last week. So where are your structures within the government? Where are your structures? Who's thinking about the taxi driver or the Jarvie in Killarney next summer? American guests and tourists are making their plans to come to Ireland, or Europeans. They've made their plans. They know where they're going next summer. And if we don't have the capacity to facilitate them, like we did this summer, we lost 40% of the spend power off the streets, Pat. And that's a long winter for a lot of people. I'll give you one nice small example, and it's quick. There's a hotel in town, opens up, it has 200 or 300 rooms, let's say. And next thing, they take a full allotment of Ukrainians, which they're more than welcome. But the little lady next door who has a little cafe, who is doing 30 or 40 breakfasts every morning out of people staying in that hotel, that's gone. Or the taxi driver who was ferrying people into the town every night, or bringing them in for dinner and taking them back out, that's all gone. And the Jarvie who was depending people on the street, that's all gone. So I understand you need to look after, and I understand 100% we're in a wartime situation, but I'm coming at this from a good part, Pat. I'm not coming at this from a really negative issue. I'm just worried where our town is going in relation to, can we facilitate the business? Because Killarney is unusual. We make our money in tourism. But if we don't have a product to sell, who's going to make us? So I'm asking, is Pascal O'Donoghue going to come with a plan for the people of Killarney or Kerry? And say, yeah, look, we know we're, and as stated by Leo Varadkar only 2 weeks ago, we know we're affecting the tourism trade in Ireland. But knowing it and doing something about it are two different things. And, the social fabric of Killarney is very important to me.
I mean, the numbers are astonishing, really, I suppose. Whether you take the urban population of Killarney at 14,000 or 10,000, you're looking at between a third and a quarter additional population. Now, in normal circumstances, a town would welcome more people because there's more spending power. But if spending power is limited, which it would be in the case of asylum seekers and refugees, then that kind of equation doesn't come into play. Just on a personal note, you have a family hotel, but it's a small hotel. Do you have any refugees or asylum seekers?
No, Pat, and we took that decision because my mother is 86. She still runs the hotel. It's a fabulously positioned hotel right in the middle of town, but it's a 1969 built hotel. We're three star. I wouldn't feel right putting a Ukrainian family into the small rooms we have and just letting them go. For me, it's not right, and it's nothing to do with. Like, economically, Pat, it would be worth over 80,000 a month to our business, which would be such a lifeline to any business. But you're starting your business from scratch then again in 6 or 12 or 20 more months' time. And my mother's taken and worked too hard to actually start from scratch again.
It's also the case that a hotel room that's used for family accommodation for a protracted period, it's not the same as the people popping in, literally putting their head down for the night and maybe having a shower and then moving on. The wear and tear, you know, from a family living in a hotel room will be much higher. That room will have to be refurbished at the end of the day when it's being reintroduced into the tourist market.
Yeah, it would. And at the end of the day, and I keep going back, we're very welcoming and we're very open. And the Ukrainian families that come in here will tell you they've been treated so well, and we're delighted to be able to look after them. But where does mental health come in? Where do the services come in that you can't provide? Our doctors were on the radio last week. They said before the Ukrainian war, they were at breaking point. Then they took 50 each when the first wave of 1,000 refugees came in because they had to, and they didn't know how they were going to provide. But if you're a person right now in Killarney and you need to see a doctor, it's literally impossible. And it's not the doctor's fault. It's just you have to understand. I know you want to be the good guy and you want to bring everybody in, and I want to look after everybody. But you can't bring them in if you don't have the services. Right. And if the Gardaí don't have the manpower, which and I state this, we have the best guards in the whole of the country here in Kerry. They're amazing, because the amount of different events that you have going on in Killarney and how they manage it is just amazing. But you can't okay. Throw 40% of the population and expect the same guards to look after it.
All right, Niall, thank you very much for joining us. Niall O'Callaghan, Kerry County Councillor for the Killarney area and himself a hotelier. Going to John O'Hara now, Mayo County Councillor for the Ballina Municipal Area. Will you describe the situation in Mayo for us, please, John?
Well, Pat, I brought up this at the last municipal meeting we had 2 weeks ago. And it's where I was getting a lot of complaints, where people came to celebrate weddings, various functions, and there was no accommodation for them. So they felt that when you were in Mayo, you can be going within 40 kilometres radius to a wedding. So that would take in Westport, Castlebar, Balmoral, Everest, all over the county. So what's happening here is when you book, you get an invitation to a wedding, there's so many of the rooms are booked. But anyway, you take your time, you didn't book straight away, you go in and you make your call, and there's no accommodation available. So the other hotels are filled as well, so you finish up that you might get a B&B that might be 4 or 5 kilometres outside the town. And that's no good to you, because you cannot really enjoy it. You have to get a taxi. Sometimes taxis, when you finish a wedding at night, sometimes might be 3 or 4 in the morning, there's not taxis available. It's just not accommodating, and that's what's wrong with people. We're promoting tourism in the west of Ireland. We're promoting greenways. We're promoting canoeing, surfing, diving, you name it, we're doing it. Now, I have nothing against the Ukrainians. The poor, my heart goes out to them. But where I'm coming from is we just don't have accommodation for the people that comes into the west of Ireland. We're trying to promote it. We're doing our best. We're spending a lot of money on it. We're doing our best to promote it. But it's limited accommodation that we have.
So, John, you're looking for solutions from government, but the thing about a hotel is that it has a ready-made kitchen. It has, obviously, ready-made warm accommodation. All rooms now are en suite, you know, so people can, you know, mind themselves in a hotel room. It's the quick solution for the government, and in the absence of something else, what are they to do?
Well, it's just that I feel that people, they arrange everything. It's a local, it happens once in a lifetime, maybe twice, that you have a wedding or something like that. And there's no accommodation out there. That was the thing I had to get at. Because it's so sad, you invite guests, and some of them come from, you know yourself, a lot of immigration in the west of Ireland over the years. They come home and they haven't been home since the beginning of the COVID. They come back here, no accommodation for them. I feel very sorry for them. I know we're in hard times, but it's just so sad. Yeah.
Clearly after COVID, a lot of the hoteliers see a nice little earner here, guaranteed money. The state is relied upon always to write the check. You can see why hoteliers do it. But if hoteliers were really interested in the tourist business, they wouldn't do it. They'd look to the ongoing future of their business viability because, you know, this crisis, terrible though it is, will pass.
Well, the other thing is, it's impossible. The prices are gone up mad. Like, if you went away for a weekend, any part in Ireland, that was another thing I brought up, it could cost you up to €1,000 to get accommodation. You go away for a foreign holiday and you'd have a full week out for the same price. Like, we're priced ourselves out of the market. When you put it into relation to the what you get for the week working and like try to get away. Why would you stay in this country? We're not encouraging tourism. I think we're kicking ourselves in the backside for what we're at.
All right. I think the two contributions there really outline the dilemma that faces both government and the industry. John O'Hara, Mayo County Councillor for the Ballina Municipal Area. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.